10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Watchman's Cry, News from the Wall, your source for the truth and what's really happening today.
All right, folks, welcome to part two of News from the Wall, Illuminati Unmasked series, already in progress. And in these programs, we are talking about the New World Order Illuminati plan that is underway right now to take over the world. It is not a plan that is going to happen someday, but it is a plan that has been in motion now for several decades. This thing is underway, and it is now bulldozing over the land of America. The New World Order plan will have collateral damage. In this program, we're going to talk about what they are doing to this country. I'm going to talk about the condition of this nation, the condition of our social health, the condition of our culture, the condition of our young generation. We're going to look at a lot of different things. And as I was studying the Super Bowl over the last few weeks, it began as a small project where I was just going to have one program and I was going to share the symbolism that I was able to uncover during the Bruno Mars concert. But as I continued to dig, things started appearing. More information was coming forth and I found myself with a lot of different rabbit holes that were being uncovered before me. So I thank you for the time. Thank you for listening to this program. Please share this with everyone that you know, folks. This stuff is so important to know. Now, I'm going to share some things that on paper or at first appearance, when you first hear them, may sound amazing or unbelievable or shocking. Some of you will scratch your head and say, Nathan, are you serious? Can this be true? But folks, I don't want to just give you a bunch of rumors. I don't want to give you hearsay. I'm going to share things with you that I am going to provide pictures and illustrations and even links so that you can see the things that I am sharing are true. The purpose of this exercise is to educate and to inform God's people and those of you that maybe are considering increasing your spiritual walk with God. I'm giving you a reason that you need to do it. It's because we're in the end times and things are happening right now. So I found myself looking at a volume of information that cannot be shared on one program. It's going to take several. I'm going to have to partition it out so that I can give each topic enough time and justice to explain it in the best way possible. If you want to know where the notes and images are, I've included them on my website. You can go to watchmanscry.com, and on the top of the page to the right, I have this program displayed. And then if you click on that link, it'll go to notes and images so that you can follow along and also do your own research. Some of you may ask, well, who is the Illuminati, Nathan, and who is the New World Order? Who are these people? Because I know that many times people use the generic terms, the globalists or the New World Order or the Illuminati. And some of you may ask, well, who are they? Give me a name. Give me a face. So on this program, I'm going to do that. Now, while it would be impossible to give you every single name, I'm going to list certain names. I'm going to list some groups. I'm going to name individuals who are behind this thing. And I'm going to name some of the different movements of the New World Order. And I'm going to do this so that those of you that are studying this can add this to your library of information. Now, I know that there are some of you that have been studying the New World Order for years. I consider myself a student of these things. I don't know everything, folks, and I don't think that we ever can know everything because there's just so much. I'm hoping that this information will help you to have a better understanding of what's going on, that our lives in the future are going to become more challenging. If we were to examine the writings of the New World Order, they have a goal that's going to span the areas of all life on Earth, on this planet. It's going to continue to demolish our old way of life, the life that we grew up with. And a new way of living is going to come. And it's going to be a new way that is not going to be friendly to those that value freedom. And this new goal that they have is going to erase and nullify the last sentence of our national anthem, which is the land of the free and the home of the brave. That is no longer going to exist here in the United States. Now, let's go ahead and start out with the Super Bowl halftime program. Why does it matter? Why do I need to do this? Some people would say, you know, Nathan, that's just a show that occurs for a few minutes once a year. What's the big deal? Well, here's the big deal. It's because the Super Bowl has revealed itself to be a halftime pulpit where messages have been displayed, where entertainers have been proclaiming occultic type pagan things. And I know that it would be easy to just say that, well, it's just that one entertainer. 2 years ago, it was Madonna, and then last year, it was Beyonce. And some people could say, it was just Beyonce. Who cares what she thinks? Or Madonna. I don't pay attention to Madonna anyway. So who was it this year? Some guy, Bruno Mars? I've never heard of him. What do I care what he thinks? I know that we can treat it that way. We could. But being that I'm an investigator at heart, and I seek to know, and I want to be up on the wall, and if there's anything that has been noted or announced or proclaimed, if there are any warnings that are out there and available for the people of God to take advantage of, I want to know about them. So that's what got me on this journey. And so when I was studying the halftime program, well, first of all, it is more than just a filler to give the athletes a chance, the football players a chance to catch their breath. It's more than that. It's an opportunity for companies and corporations to advertise. At first, that was the main motive and goal. But then it started becoming something that was much deeper than that and more profound than that. And it became a pulpit. It became a sounding board. It became a soapbox. It became a display, a sermon to send a message to the country. And if we were to look at the Super Bowl halftime show the last few years, if we compare this year's to several decades ago, the Super Bowl halftime show is an indicator. It's a barometer that shows where we are. It's a spiritual barometric reading that shows where the nation's entertainment lies. It shows the direction of the entertainment. It shows what people want. It shows what people are used to. It shows the thought process that is going on in the entertainment industry. And let's be honest here. Over the last few years, the Super Bowl has illustrated the disgusting, dark, and improper direction of American culture. Because as entertainment goes, so goes the nation. And the halftime show has their clerics. The musicians are the clerics of the day. The heroes from the days of old, who at one time were those held in high esteem, the inventors, the artists, the scientists, have now been replaced with entertainers who proclaim and preach and promote sexual promiscuity and devilish activity. The Super Bowl reveals all of this. So that's why I took the time to study this thing, because in addition to the entertainers also proclaiming their lifestyle choices and their promiscuity through music, the show has become so large that one-third of the United States now watches it. And because of that, the corporate interests have seen that this is a great opportunity to advertise. We have a captive audience, so let's use the opportunity to advertise. So it then spread into that. But then, for some reason, they started inserting darkness into it. They started inserting messages and symbology. We've been watching this over the past few years. It's become dark. And it's not just the Super Bowl. Now it spans into the Grammy Awards, the Academy Awards, all these different award programs where the culture of the day illustrates where it is in the timeline of progress. Some people might say, well, Nathan, does it really matter? Should I care what they said during the halftime show? Who cares? Some guy I don't even listen to. Who cares? Well, here's why, folks. And if it was just limited to some knucklehead entertainer doing their thing and then getting off the stage, that would be one thing. But the Super Bowl program has become such a very well-defined illustration and tool of the Illuminati to advertise what they're going to do to this planet. They have started using it as a pulpit and a commercial to boast and to proclaim in your face what they're going to do. So the reason that I think that we need to take note of this is because they're the ones that started using this to illustrate what they're going to do to your life. They're the ones that are announcing that they're going to take America into a new era of darkness and oppression and evil. And based on what I saw on the halftime program, folks, they are halfway there. I said this in the last session, and now it appears that they want you to get excited about it. They want you to know that we're halfway there, and they want you to be happy about it. And they're going to use all methods of influence to shove this idea down your face, to program you and all citizens to dismiss your vigilance and to not worry about it. They want to convince humans on this planet that globalism is a good thing, that their Illuminati New World Order plan is a good thing. And folks, based on what we read in the Bible, the globalist end time New World Order beast is going to be able to come into power through deception because they lie to the people, because they're going to be able to use propaganda and the spirits of darkness and Satan to convince people that it's good. If we're in the end times, that means that their campaign of lying and deception is underway right now. That means that the end time beast is rising up out of the sea, and they are going to use all the avenues that they can to convince us that it's good. And as I watched the Super Bowl halftime show and the commercials, I started to see a theme, a reoccurring theme and trend that started to appear. The theme said, we're in control, we're bringing some stuff to the planet, some things are coming, some events are coming, and you need to be happy about it. But get ready, because it's coming. I saw these things, folks, and I'm going to talk about this, but one of the biggest promoters and sponsors of this year's halftime show was Pepsi. Pepsi sponsored the halftime show, and we saw their logo all over the place. Did you notice their new globe logo, red, white, and blue? It's a circle. Kind of looks like the Obama logo. Have you noticed that? Well, Pepsi sponsored the halftime show, and they played a huge role in the halftime show. And so I started asking myself, well, is there a reason that they're playing a role, and what role is Pepsi playing in the big picture of the New World Order? Are they playing a role? Are they doing certain things outside of the Super Bowl that are going to promote the New World Order? And this is what I concluded. Based on the research that I found, now, if you're taking notes, we're going to talk about Pepsi. And I really, really need to stress, it is very important for me to do this because they did not sponsor the Super Bowl halftime show by accident. They are not a benign corporation. They matter. I'm going to talk about some things that they are doing, and you need to hear this. You need to hear this for the sake of your family and your family's health. So please take notes and please pay attention to what I'm going to share right here. Okay, folks? It's very important. Pepsi is playing a huge role in the present Illuminati plan to bring about the New World Order. Now, at one time, some people might have said, Nathan, come on, you're crazy. How? They're a good old boy American company, Pepsi. They sell soda, a cola drink. What's the big deal? Perhaps a few years ago that was true, but it's no longer true, folks, because I found many dark prophecies in Pepsi's disclosure. I looked at their participation in the Super Bowl. I looked at their advertising. I looked at some of the displays that they actually had at MetLife Stadium. I looked at the halftime show. By the way, before the Bruno Mars halftime show started, Pepsi had a short commercial called Soundcheck New York City, where some giant hands came out of the sky and they did things around New York. I studied it. I broke it down. I dissected it. I watched it frame by frame over and over. And folks, the information that I found, the disclosure that I found, had volumes of information. And I'm not going to be able to cover all of that in this session. I'm going to do it in a future session. But please know this. That thing was not benign. It had so much profound information. There was a message there. It was an incredible message. And I can't wait to share that. But before I share that, I have to first give you the background of this company. And I have to share what they are doing to the world right now. Because they're not just a company minding their own business. They're not an American company that just wants to have jobs and have vending machines that sell their product around the country. It's much bigger than that. So as I studied Pepsi, I was led to more caverns of secrets. Secrets that I need to talk about. Now, ladies and gentlemen, to begin, I want to bring to the table the actual Pepsi logo. And I want to do this because as I was studying this program, I noticed that this logo was everywhere in the Super Bowl. The Pepsi logo illustrates a giant Earth that Pepsi has now become a world global entity. The Pepsi logo reveals that Pepsi is no longer limited to the United States and that it has become the entire world. And not only that, but Pepsi is now consuming the entire planet. The planet belongs to Pepsi. In their eyes, the world is now a world culture. It's made up of citizens who are not limited to the United States, but Pepsi believes in globalism.
But to be successful, it needs to get everybody on board, and it needs to get everybody to like it. And to accomplish this, it requires a lot of worldwide advertising. And the advertising needs to be hip and cool. The people should never suspect that they are being manipulated or brainwashed. And I've seen some of this advertising, folks. It's very clever. It's crafty. And there's a good chance that many of you have seen it, but for the most part, most people don't really think about it. Most of the time when we see it, it passes by so fast that we don't really consider it. And the main reason that most of us don't realize it or grow suspicious is because it's very clever. And that's because it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be clever, hip, cool, and inviting and enticing. And I've noticed this. You dress up a commercial with cool music and you make it look fun and most people don't get it. They don't see the underlying subliminal message that's in there. But I'm bringing this up because Pepsi is playing a role right now to brainwash the world that the New World Order is a good thing, that the world is changing and we need to adapt. And every one of us needs to get on board if we want to survive. I have a commercial that I want to play right here. This is a commercial that was produced by Pepsi, and it sounds very cool. It has a cool sounding song, and as it's playing, make note of these things that I'm mentioning. Now, if you can't hear what the artist is singing in his words, this is what he's singing. He says, "One tribe, y'all." He says that three times. "One tribe, y'all," meaning that we are all part of one tribe of the world. We're all one. The New World Order, in other words. And then he says, "We are one people." He comes out and says it. And then he says, "Let's catch amnesia." He says that twice, as if to imply, let's forget that we were once not global citizens. And then he says, "Forget that evil." So to come from an independent state means that we're evil? I guess that's what Pepsi's trying to say. And then the commercial ends with him saying, "Move the world forward." Listen to this.
One tribe, y'all. One tribe, y'all. We one tribe, y'all. We are one people. Let's catch amnesia. Let's catch amnesia. Forget about all that evil.
What do you care about? Introducing the Pepsi Refresh Project. We're giving away millions for ideas that move the world forward. Every Pepsi refreshes the world.
Okay, folks, there you have it. There's that word again. Is that a clue that when you hear that word by corporate interests or politicians like Obama, it means one thing? I think so. I think the word forward to the globalists means forward toward the new era of globalism. Forward toward the new era of global government, of a changing world. So Pepsi is playing their part to get people to lower their defenses to globalism. Now, Pepsi's CEO is a woman who was born in India, and I'm sure that she's a nice lady. Her name is Indra Noyi, and that name is spelled I-N-D-R-A Noyi, N-O-O-Y-I. Listen to this interview where she admits that she wants all 7 billion people on the earth.
We are a, you know, $65-66 billion company, and we have 300,000 employees in 200 countries. Large enterprise. We are the 37th largest country in the world. If you look at our market capitalization, this is a pretty awesome company that we have.
I think I read on my way here that the 7th billion person was born the other evening. How long do you figure it'll take you to get to all of them? So,
to do what?
To touch or buy a Pepsi product.
Not just Pepsi. Pepsi, no, Pepsi Mountain Dew, Lay's, Doritos, Cheetos, Fritos, Quaker
better,
Oats, so. Tropicana. I mean,
I do know better.
You know what? Our goal is to say, if you have a mouth, we'll feed you.
Okay, folks, there you have it. There's a question that I often ask on my programs, and that question is this. Do you know what time it is? And folks, it is apparent that the hour is very late. And the Bible tells us that at the end of time,
The New World Order beast is going to rise up, the one world government. And folks, have you ever wondered how the world was going to get there? Have you ever wondered how the citizens of this planet would ever allow it to happen or support it or be behind it? Well, we're watching the advertising campaign for the beast occur right now when we see these type of ads about globalism. And folks, this thing's not slowing down. It is continuing at a very brisk pace. And the globalists want to have their new world order, which for them means that every citizen is their customer or their slave. From the academic and economic point of view on paper, I can see the motivation behind why they want to have this thing. And that is because they want to be able to have citizens who are their customers throughout the entire world. But to achieve this brave new world that they want will only be accomplished with a cost. And it's going to be a great cost. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But to be clear, my friends, I am not singling out Pepsi right now because I have a vendetta against them. Inda Nooyi has been the CEO for a few years, and I've read her bio. I've seen some of the interviews that she has conducted. She became a nationalized American a few years ago, and then she joined Pepsi. She's been with Pepsi for a number of years, and Pepsi decided to make her their CEO. Now, why did they do that? Why would they pick a person who is not a native-born American? Here's why, folks. Because Pepsi needed a person who had interests that extend beyond American borders. Why? Because she's from India. As a CEO for Pepsi, she has a different perspective than a person would have if they were native-born. Now, I am 100% certain that Inda Nooyi is a globalist. She's New World Order. She's part of the elite. Now, get this, folks. She also attended the Bilderberg meetings. And also, she is a member of the Trilateral Commission. That's also a globalist New World Order organization, and I'm going to talk about that in a moment. Then on top of that, folks, it gets better. She's also a member of the New York Fed. That one had me scratching my head because I was wondering, why would the New York Fed have an individual who is native born to India, and now they are... Folks, I just see a lot of conflict with her involved in the New York Fed, being that her interests are not totally devoted to just America. I read a few reports that have said she's a very humble woman, but unfortunately, she's a humble woman with a mandate, and her values are very liberal. She supports many gay causes. You see, folks, this is where the conflict reveals itself with these globalists. The globalists have a different way of thinking. Their conscience works on a different wave pattern because to them, certain values aren't the same values as the rest of us. Here in America, at least half, well, it used to be, maybe not anymore, but at one time here in America, the majority of citizens had Judeo-Christian values, which did not include the support of gay and lesbian and transgender lifestyle. Well, Pepsi, through the leadership of Inda Nooyi, has given a lot of money to the gay cause in support of homosexuality. So when you read the words value on their website, and then we see what they're doing, you see, folks, one hand is saying one thing, and the other hand is doing something else. I have an excerpt of a speech that she gave where she admits that the world is changing and that we must adapt. In this speech, this should give a clue that the leader of Pepsi is a globalist. You'll hear her say that she has seen the importance of devising new rules, and the reason for the new rules is that all of us need to recognize that we're in a new reality now. She admits that the world is changing, and then she goes on to say that the only way to function in today's world is to be lean and extremely low cost, which, by the way, comes right out of the playbook of the Globalist Trilateral Commission, because the New World Order globalists believe in a system where their products can be manufactured, produced, harvested, mined, created, etc., at a very low cost. And in order for this to be accomplished, that means that their workers have to be willing to be employed for a very low cost, which means that poverty is perpetuated. Now, I'm going to go into this in a few minutes, but listen to this, folks.
I think we have to face reality. How can we survive and how can we thrive in this new world? We have to adapt. 150 years ago now, Charles Darwin published his classic on the origin of species. Darwin's most brilliant insight, which has stood the test of time, was that it is not the strongest that survive, but the fittest. You know, I became CEO of PepsiCo in late 2006. I have to say it's amazing how rapidly the world has changed since I became CEO. And I've seen the importance of devising new rules as I went along over the last 4 or 5 years. All of us have to explicitly recognize that we are in a new reality. We have to accept that we are in a new era of uncertainty. We have to speed up everything we do. And we have to start thinking in a wholly different way. Because responding to change is not the same as being fickle. We need to learn a whole new skill, the skill of adaptability. That's my first thought. The second point is that uncertain times require us to have a long-term horizon. It's the companies with a long-term mission that will thrive. The only way to function in today's world is to be lean and extremely low cost. We need the maximum efficiency today so that we can deliver great performance and invest for the future. So that's lesson number two. Lead for today and tomorrow at the same time. My third point. In these volatile times, we have to be ambitious. We must make big changes to big things. So this is not a time for small changes. We need to make big changes to big things. The clock speed in this new world is extremely rapid, and we need to adapt constantly. Only the fittest will survive.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, we just heard firsthand from a globalist who has attended the Bilderberg meetings her forecast about our future. First of all, I want to make note of something that she said. She stated that she became the CEO of Pepsi in 2006. Well, 1 year previous, she attended the Bilderberg meetings. So that means that she attended the Bilderberg meetings before she was CEO. And a question that I have is, what did they tell her at that meeting? Well, I believe that she was told about the crash of 08 that was approaching the planet. And also, I believe that she was shown their plan for the future, for what they had in store for the world. And she was probably also told that when she became CEO, she was going to have to take Pepsi into this new world that they were creating. And I can imagine that she was also told to use the advertising resources of Pepsi to promote their new world order. Because in her speech, that's what we heard. Did you notice she kept talking about how the world was in uncertain times and the future was going to continue with uncertain times? How does she know that? Why would she say that? It's because she already is aware. She has already been informed in the Bilderberg meetings that she's attended and also from her membership at the Trilateral Commission as well as the New York Fed. So these globalists know what they're doing to this planet. They know what they have planned. And she knows that they're going to bring about some catastrophic changes involving political, financial, and social upheaval. Ladies and gentlemen, they are the architects of destruction because they desire to have chaos so that out of it, they can establish their new world order. This new design for the planet, where the globalists will try to make everyone their customer, is built into a template. And this template was created by the head leadership of the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission and the Bilderbergs. Their template envisions a world that is not the same world that we have right now. It's a world that's going to be very dark. It's a world that's going to be under their control. It's a world that's not going to have freedom. A world that's going to be very tyrannical. And as we are watching globalism arrive here on this planet, we can see that it's fulfilling Bible prophecy. And even though a well-meaning globalist CEO of a company may say, it's just about our company only. Well, we can look at scripture and see what the end result's going to be, which is what we read in Revelation 13, when the beast rises up out of the sea and Satan is going to give it its authority. So this globalist plan that may sound neat for the CEOs is going to turn the world into a giant plantation. Now, since she is a member of the Trilateral Commission, as well as the Bilderbergs and the New York Fed, I want to explain what the Trilateral Commission is. Some of you may know this information, but I'm just going to give a brief synopsis on what they believe. And I have to do this because these people do not think like you and I think. They do not operate in the same type of world that we operate in. For them, the rules are much different.
They don't believe that the rules of law apply to them. They believe that their family lines are entitled to the riches and the wealth of the world. They have a religion unto themselves. So they don't think like we do. The Trilateral Commission was formed in 1973 by David Rockefeller and Zbigniew Brzezinski, who was Jimmy Carter's national security advisor at the time. Now, back then, they initially started with a couple of hundred members who they recruited so that they could form a blueprint and the architecture to allow their companies to become global powerhouses. And their purpose was to engineer the infrastructure so that they could become the ruling class of this planet. And initially, when the Trilateral Commission started, being that it's the word tri, which means three, trilateral, they wanted the regions of North America, Western Europe, and Japan. And if the elite wealthy ones in these three regions could work together and make business arrangements, then they believed that they would be able to ensure that their wealth would last forever. Now, in order to accomplish this, they also had to involve political leaders, which meant that they had to somehow recruit those that were in power to go along with this thing. And they made promises to politicians, and they said, if you give us these concessions, when we go into your countries, pass laws that will be in favor of us. So they constructed a framework so that their business interests would commingle with one another, and so that they could be dependent on one another, and so that they could spread the customer base of their products to one another's regions. Initially, on paper, what it sounds like is a bunch of frat boys and some women, of course, sorority sisters, getting together and saying, you know what? I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine. Why don't you let me sell my stuff in your area, and you can sell your stuff in my area. We'll buy stuff from one another. I'll buy your products. I own these resources, and you can buy from me the resources to make your products, and your resources I'll purchase from you. So on paper, it may sound like a good idea because, well, Nathan, doesn't that provide jobs? Isn't that a good thing? Isn't it just old-fashioned capitalism at work? Well, yes, if they stayed within the rules of democracy and freedom, but that's not what they did. Because in order for their plan to work, they wrote out the blueprint. And the blueprint stated that they had to be able to control the people, the governments, and the economies of all the nations that they were going to serve. And they also had to have the help of multinational banks to be able to carry this plan out. And they also said this in their writings. They said in order for them to be successful, they have to be able to control, not just use, but control the economic resources in the various nations that came under their regions. What does that mean? Well, in order for these companies to prosper, they had to work together to get a hold of natural resources in other places of the world, in Africa and South America, in third world areas. And in order to do that, then they had to offer bribes and manipulation and rewards to the leaders of these third world nations. So the nations of the rest of the world were going to become banana republics. And if some of you can remember in history, this term comes from actual bananas that were extorted from some South American countries in the 1800s, where the leadership of these countries were offered concessions so that the corporations could obtain the bananas from their countries for a set price, and the prices were kept at a favorable level for the corporations by the governments of those countries. So in order to pull that off, that meant that these third world countries, for example, if they made a deal with Dole Banana would tell the countries, okay, don't let the price change, don't let the price go up. If your people complain, you keep them under control. So the leadership of these countries would keep the people working under slave wages. The people never had any hope of rising up out of their poverty. So the wages are kept under control so that the corporations can be able to obtain the resource for a very low price. And if the people don't like the working conditions, that's too bad. It was up to the leadership of the country to keep them subdued. So the end result was usually the leadership of the country became very dictatorial, and the rights and the freedoms of the people were usually stripped. So the citizens remained slaves. They were used to work on the plantations for slave wages, and the leader of the respective country ended up being a puppet government to the corporations. So that's where the term banana republic comes from. We can see that the Trilateral Commission placed into power many, many puppet governments. And they used, now get this folks, they used the resources of the U.S. military to accomplish this. We saw this occur all over South America and Middle America, where puppet governments were placed into power by our U.S. military for the benefit of corporations who were raping the resources from those nations. And here back at home, when Americans would hear that some political upheaval was happening in South America or Middle America, it was labeled with lies and window dressing, and it was recreated to be a story that eliminated the guilt of our corporations and our U.S. military. So the Trilateral Commission got together with the elite CEOs of very large corporations and offered them the world. So the reason that these individuals salivated over this idea was because they would become very, very rich. But in order to become very, very rich, they were going to have to put aside their conscience. They were going to have to overlook the mistreatment of their fellow man. They were going to have to overlook the slavery and the theft of resources from other countries. They were going to have to overlook that they would be in control of puppet governments. And they were going to have to overlook and wink and look the other way at the result of having puppet governments. Now, ladies and gentlemen, history has already shown us that when puppet governments have ruled, they rule with an iron fist, and many, many people die brutally. Many people are tortured. Many people are robbed, ravished, maimed. It's a very, very dark formula for human rights. Now, I just mentioned South America and Africa, but we are also watching this happen in another category of resources, and that has to do with oil. Now, folks, this could be several programs, and I don't want to digress with a different topic, but the events that we have been witnessing over the last decade in the Middle East are another illustration of the New World Order corporate fascist blueprint for the future of this planet. The resources of oil have replaced the bananas. And over the last few years, we have watched a lot of weird things going on in the Middle East. We have watched wars take place. We have watched our U.S. military stretched with different operations in a lot of countries lately, in North Africa, in the Middle East. And many times it has been easy to just use the term spreading freedom. And for the people that want to keep the blindfold on here in America and cover their eyes and ears, that excuse has worked, but it's really not the truth. Now, folks, I know that this is very dangerous ground to walk over, but the truth is the truth, and the facts are the facts. And if you have been enlisted in the military, or you have loved ones who have been enlisted in the U.S. military, historically, it has been something to be proud of. It's been something that was noble, that was brave. It was something that had substance. And I am not blaming our service men and women who are in the military, because they're just doing the job of serving their country. So God bless them, and God bless your loved ones. But folks, again, the facts are the facts. And now that we have left Iraq and we are pulling out of Afghanistan, the question must be asked, why were we there in the first place? And why have we had tens of thousands of our U.S. citizens maimed and injured and killed over those missions? Why? I know that we have been given the excuse that sounds good on Fox News, fighting for freedom, fighting the war on terror. But to the person that is paying attention, it is obvious that the events that are transpiring do not line up with the truth. And the events that are transpiring in the war in the Middle East and the war on terror do not line up with actual testimony from our service people. The war on terror is a front for the New World Order to gain real estate and to gain regions in the world to establish oil pipelines for corporate interests. That's the bottom line of all of these missions in the Middle East. The Trilateral Commission mapped this thing out. And one of the original heads of the Trilateral Commission,
Dr. Death, Zbigniew Brzezinski, bloodthirsty hatchet man vampire creature, has written books on what he envisions for the future of America and what he envisions for the New World Order and the Trilateral Commission and the corporate fascist interests of the New World Order. Zbigniew Brzezinski wrote a book, The Grand Chessboard, that described the blueprint for war for the coming years. And according to him, he stated that the United States needs to get control of the oil interests in Asia, in Europe, in the Middle East. And in order to do that, we had to establish control over certain governments and certain nations. We had to get a hold of real estate to act as buffer zones so that Russia and China would not be able to get to the oil before we could. And right now we are witnessing that thing. The Ukraine, it sits between Russia and Europe. It sits in a very, very strategic location north of the Black Sea. And Russia wants a pipeline to be able to feed their oil to Europe. But Ukraine is in the way. So Russia wants to get a hold of the Ukraine so that they can have a pipeline to Europe. And the New World Order trilateralists also see that that would not serve the interests of America. So they have to upset and create upheaval and get the Ukrainians to not want to be a part of Russia. So that as a result, Ukraine can become a part of the EU and or NATO. And as these events are transpiring right now in the Ukraine, we're going to watch the Trilateral Commission Blueprint for War take place. Because according to the New World Order, Russia cannot have the Ukraine. It is very, very vital to the New World Order to have the Ukraine. So I'm watching this thing take place. You're watching. We're watching. How is it going to play out? And as Obama sits back casually and acts like he's not interested, he has his instructions. And it has already come out that the United States has acted in proxy through provocateurs to influence the upheaval that is taking place in the Ukraine. The United States already has its paws by proxy in the uprising, ladies and gentlemen. And just like Obama hired the thugs in Syria to begin a revolt and a revolution, and the thugs that he hired were terrorists, Al-Qaeda, who supposedly destroyed the World Trade Towers, and now Obama has hired them, and he's on their side to create an upheaval in Syria. Well, in the same way, the CIA has recruited thugs who are Nazi fascist terrorists to create the revolt in the Ukraine. That thing is an inside job, and it has the West all over it. It has Operation NATO all over it. And folks, if you watch the mainstream news, if you watch Fox News, if you listen to Bill the Liar O'Reilly, you're not going to get the truth about this thing. And I don't know how this thing's going to play out. I really do not know at this time, but based on the prophetic images that I have seen and the prophetic visions that I have seen, as well as many other watchmen, eventually we are going to have a war with Russia and China. And when that thing happens, it's not going to result in a favorable outcome for the United States or the West. The United States will end up occupied by the forces of the Russians and the Chinese because God is judging America. So ladies and gentlemen, the Trilateral Commission are a bunch of bloodthirsty vampires who do not care about human life, nor the future of America, nor the lives of our men and women who serve nobly and who want to serve for a good cause and end up fighting for the New World Order and maimed and butchered and forgotten by this administration. Now, I'm a little bit passionate right now as I talk about this, but folks, this makes me mad when I think about how our service people are treated. That's one of the worst, worst betrayals that a country can do to its servants who are willing to give their lives for something that matters, for something of substance. But instead, it's all for a lie. And unfortunately, many of our volunteers who join the military to serve do not understand all of this. They don't know about the New World Order. They're just young kids. They're people who are living their life on the blue pill. They don't necessarily know. Or they've been given a lie. And it's not right, ladies and gentlemen. It's wrong. But we're going to see this thing continue. And it's going to be unfortunate because those in the Trilateral Commission only care about one thing, and that is money and power. As I was examining this thing, I started to realize something. And I know that there are a lot of people that
that say they're against globalism and we have the Tea Party that wants to bring us back to the way that things used to be. And we had the occupiers a few years ago. Remember that, folks? And when you consider these groups who mean well and they say, I'm not for globalism, but then they go and drink Pepsi, do they know that they're actually drinking from a company that is now global? Do they know that? Most people don't. So I started noticing something, folks. Even though most of us do not like the idea of the New World Order coming, it is now so entrenched in our culture and in our finances and in our economy that globalism is now a trap that is unknowingly supported by many American citizens, including many of you and me. I don't like globalism, folks, but we are unknowingly supporting it. And here's one of the biggest ways that it's occurring. American citizens who are stockholders in these companies. Because now when you look at the blue chip stocks on the Dow Jones, when you look at all these companies, they are no longer limited to the borders of the United States. They have now evolved into a new creature and a new entity with different interests. They're going in a new direction that they would not admit to you. And here's the part that's disturbing. How many people attend the meetings, the stockholder meetings of companies that they have invested in? You know, grandpa gave me some stocks in Pepsi or Coca-Cola or Chevy or GM or Ford. So people attend these meetings and they vote for cost-cutting measures. And they vote and they tell the board of directors and the leadership, we want you to make us money. We want our stocks to be valued high. So they tell the leadership to make decisions that produce profit for the companies. But here's the reality of those directives that come from the stockholders. In order for the companies to cut costs and to increase profit, it requires that America be demolished. It requires that American jobs be reduced and eliminated. And it requires that the production facilities have to be taken offshore to India or to China or to somewhere else where the employees are paid less. And so you have these individuals who mean well, who have investments in IRAs, IRAs, or 401ks. Think about this, folks. How many of you have retirement funds? And you want that fund to prosper and to do well because that fund is going to take care of you as you get older. You depend on that fund to make money. How many retired teachers taught students and they want those students to have jobs when they grow up? And those retired teachers have retirement funds that have invested in companies that are butchering jobs. So how many individuals have retirement funds and who worry about their own future are involved because they own a retirement fund, are involved in the wrecking ball of globalism unknowingly? Now, folks, think about that. It's a double-edged sword. And globalism, as it continues to grow, becomes a powerhouse that is able to then manipulate politicians and governmental leaders and direct them on the policies that take place where these global companies are located. Globalism is able to go into many third world countries and tell the governments how it's going to be. You have these rich corporations that can go into a country and tell them, hey, if you do things our way, we will reward you. Now, as that happens with more and more companies directing the policy of a government, there's another word that globalism becomes, folks, and here's what it is. It's called fascism. Fascism is where you have corporatism that is directing the government, where the government and the corporations no longer have a boundary, where you have corporations that tell the leaders how it's going to be. And when we look at the Bible, we can see that in Revelation 13, fascism is described in Revelation 13. It says when the beast rose up, it said it looked like a leopard. This is Revelation 13:2. His feet were like a bear, had the mouth of a lion. The leopard described in Revelation is a description of Germany when Germany was in existence. Germany had fascism during Hitler's time. And it also says the end time beast is going to have the feet of a bear. That represents communism. So we're going to have a communistic dictatorship happening in the end time New World Order, as well as fascism. And then it says it had the mouth of a lion. That means that the end time beast is going to speak English, because the Queen's English, the representation of Great Britain, is the lion. And we can find that in the book of Daniel. The lion grew wings, the wings sprouted, the wings of an eagle. And that's the United States coming from the lion. That's a whole other sermon about the end times, but the head of the beast is the lion, meaning it's going to be in the West. And of course, we see that now. The West is nourishing this end time New World Order. And these corporate interests seem to all, their home bases are in the West, in the United States, New York, or London, or Brussels, Belgium. The head of the beast is the West. The biggest companies in the world are in the West, but now they're global. You don't see a lot of Russian companies that are global. You don't see a lot of Russian soft drink companies or food companies or car companies all over the world, do you? But you have them in the West, and they're all over the world. So the beast, the mouth of the beast, the head of the beast is a lion, meaning the blue blood is going to be the main brain power of these corporate groups. But these groups are going to have the power of fascism, the leopard, Germany's fascism, and the power of the bear, wherever it trots, communism. So the end time New World Order is going to be a communistic dictatorship that has corporations ruling the legislation and the mandates of those nations. And that's exactly what globalism is. Globalism is a fulfillment of this. Globalism is where companies who at one time were satisfied to stick within their borders have now expanded themselves. And they started frothing at the mouth and salivating when they saw that they could make more money if they had a global audience. The CEOs of Western corporations started meeting together at these Bilderberg meetings, and that's what they talk about. They talk about how they can expand their outreach. It's all about money for them. And the people, the human beings that exist on the planet, are customers for them. So they talk about the resources of the world, and they talk about how they can expand their markets. But in order to do this in a way that is successful for them, they also have to influence the politics of the world, meaning they control legislation and laws. So globalism is a millstone that is going to crush the freedom of the entire planet. Now, on paper, some people would say, well, Nathan, isn't that a good thing if everyone had a job? You know, isn't globalism good? If Pepsi could sell their stuff all over the world instead of just the United States, isn't that good for the stockholders? Well, yes, it is. However, it's not good for the American employees who get laid off, or other companies who have to go offshore to create their stuff. So globalism, while on paper we hear that word and we hate it, how many individuals today have retirement funds? How many of those of you that are listening to this program right now have a retirement fund that you want to prosper? But because of that situation, in essence, America is funding its own demise, and it's financing its own funeral, because the middle class people who are the stockholders want their companies to prosper. But by wanting them to prosper, it's causing a funeral for the whole country. So while patriots may rally against globalism, their retirement funds are saying otherwise. Now, folks, please think about that. Everybody listening, if you have a 401k or a retirement fund, my friend, did you know that there's a possibility that your retirement fund is unknowingly supporting the madness and the insanity of globalism? Now, please think about this, folks. I'm not just giving this information to make you feel bad or guilty or be in a catch-22 situation. I'm giving this information so that you can then have some decisions to make. You can do something about that. You don't have to hold on to the retirement fund that's doing this. But the choice is going to be yours, isn't it? And this program is not just about that. It's going to be about several things. But one of the key elements in this program and this topic, see, the Super Bowl started out with just some guy named Bruno Mars singing and some pyramids appearing behind him. I didn't know that I was going to end up talking about this, folks. But now that I have seen this information, and since I know and that you know that the New World Order beast is coming, we have to understand the fuel, the heartbeat, the blood that flows through the veins of the New World Order and where it comes from. We have to be able to break it down and understand and then decide if we want them to have a part of it. So one of the key elements in doing so regarding the Super Bowl is that Pepsi's sponsorship of the halftime show revealed who they were. It got me started on this journey. So up to this point, folks, I have shared who Pepsi is. They are no longer an all-American company of good old boys. And their values talk about global citizenship. You see the links on my website. It's right there. Now, To the person that would hear this information, they'd say, well, so what, Nathan? I don't care. Does that really matter? They just sell soda. What's the big deal? I can't get away from it. Well, I need to talk about some of Pepsi's products. And as I do that, I'm also going to talk about how the New World Order is able to brainwash Americans. Because as I was looking at this information, a picture started to form. And the picture explained that here in America, there is a project that Satan is underwriting that is affecting the way that Americans think, behave, and the way that they're able to function. And when we look at the things that Obama is doing to America, and then when we examine how much resistance he has faced, for the most part, there's no resistance. And when you think of Americans having the reputation throughout the world of being cowboys and you know, they're not going to take it, and they're the land of the free, they love freedom, etc. And when we examine our old reputation and compare it to how Americans are behaving so far, there's no denying the New World Order plan is bulldozing across America without any resistance. Folks, there's no way to sugarcoat it. America is now a nation of druggies. The children are on drugs with Ritalin, antidepressants. How many individuals, I've seen this over and over, many, many women are on antidepressants. Many men are on antidepressants. Children, teenagers, antidepressants. So they are chemically lobotomized. They're addicted. So they couldn't get mad if they wanted to. They're out of touch with their emotions. That's what antidepressants do. They numb you to your emotions. If you happen to be on some antidepressants and these words sound harsh or offensive, my friend, I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm telling the truth. The antidepressants may serve a purpose to a point, but what they really do is take away the ability to cope and to process and to work through our problems and our situation and our trauma and our stress. Instead of working through it through tools that grown-ups are able to use, people take the easy route now, or they're coaxed into taking the easy route, or they're convinced that it's the easy route by their doctors or their friends, and they just do it. And it's unfortunate because now we have an American culture that is numb. How could so much evil have come into the American culture without people resisting? Well, it's because they're drugged. They don't have the energy, the mental energy to resist. Now, you may be asking, well, Nathan, what does Pepsi have to do with that? Well, let me finish. Pepsi is not part of that equation, but Pepsi is, as a soda company, part of another equation. And in the big picture, when we look behind the scenes, Satan is the god of this world, and he knew that in order for the New World Order end time beast to rise up, America was in the way. Because in the natural, several years ago, Americans were a people that were committed to freedom and bravery and intervention and manners and chivalry. So Satan had to get rid of that. So Satan, in his evil, crafty knowledge, knew that this thing needed to be turned around, and it needed to be turned around in a way that most people would not see it coming. So that's what happened. So now we have the drug companies and the pharmacy companies and the FDA all in bed with one another, selling all these drugs to Americans so that they can make their money. But to the collateral effect of this and damage is that now you have a society of American citizens who are now a bunch of zombies. And that's what Satan wanted. Now, for the people that were going to be resistant to these measures, there was also another plan as part of the big picture that Satan had. And that was to drug the people with environmental poisons and vaccines. So Satan has also done that. And he was able to influence these corporations to turn the culture into a people and a society that was reliant on their products. Products that would compromise the health of these individuals. Now, why would they want to do that? Why would Satan want to compromise your health? Well, here's why, folks. Because in order, again, see, there's a big picture. If we go to the very end of Revelation, we have Jesus returning to earth at Armageddon. A little bit before that, we have the tribulation period on earth, the New World Order beast, a dictatorship, communism, fascism, running the world. And then if we backtrack from that, we have to look at the infrastructure part of the equation, where the infrastructure for the end time beast was created. In order to have the end time beast, you have to create the roads and the culture and the society and the laws and all of the infrastructure and the way of thinking to steer and corral the people into accepting the end time New World Order beast. And that is what is happening right now, folks. The infrastructure that is going to allow society to put up with it and to accept it is underway right now. And for those that say, you know, no, Americans are going to revolt. I don't think so, Nathan. We're going to stop it. While people are saying they're going to stop the New World Order, it's still happening. And we're halfway there. And during the Super Bowl halftime, they let us know this. That's why Pepsi was in our face, to let us know this. And Pepsi knows that it has a lot of people around the world that are addicted to its product. Because PepsiCo, the worldwide global company, last year made over $60 billion. That's a lot of money. $60 billion. And when we look at the Pepsi logo, it's a giant smiling globe with a giant open mouth with an appetite. And folks, get this. The appetite of the giant Pepsi mouth, it feeds on you. It feeds on people. And in their eyes, you don't matter. You're only a burp in its ravenous appetite throughout the world. That Pac-Man logo is a mouth that shows it has an appetite, and it's grinning and it's smiling. It's saying, we're taking over. We control you. By the way, during the Super Bowl, Pepsi sponsored one of the corners of MetLife Stadium, and they called it the Pepsi Gate. And when the halftime show started, you could see the giant hand, and there was a giant circle, their logo. And if you saw the close-up of this logo, by the way, you can go to my website. Look at the notes and images. I have it right there, folks. The giant Pepsi globe with arms on each side of it. I looked at that thing for several days, and I prayed about it, and I said, what are they telling us right there? This is what they're saying. What they are saying is, you belong to us. Their arms are saying, you're our property. The giant Pepsi Pac-Man Gaia logo said, you belong to us. Our arms have a hold of you, and it's too bad. You are mine, and your future is mine, and your children belong to me. Now, some of you may say, come on, Nathan. That was just a decoration on a football game. Come on. They don't feel that way. They care about us. Really? Is that why the leader and CEO of Pepsi is a Bilderberg? Now, I do not for one second believe that Pepsi is capable of caring about you. Now, please, please listen to the remaining portion of this program, because I'm going to share some things that Pepsi is doing that have to do with your health. And their products are not just limited to Pepsi Cola. They have a lot of things that they sell. I'm going to share some things and some knowledge and some information that I want to ask that you please think about. And I am hoping that you will realize as you're listening to it that these global companies do not have you in their best interests. All right. Well, it seems like we're running out of time again for part two. So this is going to be the end of part two. Please go to part three for the conclusion of this message, already in progress.